We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The sound of the final buzzer means it's hangover time. So grab a drink and join your host, Alphonse Sidney, for a Miami Heat Beat post-game show.
Heat win! Heat win! I'm trying to get all excited, even though it's 12:15 in the morning and I'm exhausted. But listen, I am re-energized by a Heat win. They won by 8 points. That does not really show exactly how dominant they were. There were some scary hours there in the third quarter a little bit when the lead dropped from 23 to 10. I thought they closed out the third quarter pretty well, and I thought they pretty much dominated the fourth. They got to the paint early and often, and they never went away from the paint. And it's one of the things that a lot of us have been screaming about on the show, that when it's working and when you're getting to the rim and you are converting at the rim, it's not time to say, okay, in the second half, no more layups. We're just kicking out to three-point shooters. Kelly, go crazy for the rest of the game. This game, they actually got to the rim. They stuck to the game plan. They didn't forget what got them the lead. And you see what happens. One of their better offensive games of the season. They had both halves tonight. They scored well over 50 points, where they've been having a lot of these halves where they're scoring under 45. Tonight, they maintained their offensive aggressiveness all night long. You had big games from Kelly. You had a huge game from Tyler. You had triple doubles from two Heat players, Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. I mean, there's a lot of really good things to talk about. Bring me out, Brad, so we can ask everybody what they're drinking tonight. I love that Frank Sinatra loungy feel to that. Like, honestly, I want to smoke
classy,
a cigar.
That's classy.
I want to call classy. Women broads and drink. Oh, sorry, Tip. I won't. So, Tip, I'll go ahead and start with you, since I've already offended someone.
I'm sluggish tonight, but we won. I'm here, and I got this vitamin water for the road.
That's good enough for a late night show, man. This has been tough, man. Oh my God. When I was younger, I used to stay up all, like, these games were nothing. Yeah. I was like, this is great. Now I'm like, holy shit, it's way past my bedtime. I made the mistake, and I'm talking to Tiff and Brass right now because we're the old heads in here. I made the mistake of watching this game from my bed. And like,
you got comfortable.
When I got the DM from Brash with the link to the show, I was like, holy shit. I got to get up now? Frankie, out there in Texas, braving the natural disaster, bigger man than Ted Cruz will ever be. Frankie G, what are you drinking tonight?
Doing a shot of tequila for the Heat victory to warm up this fucking, it's like 20 degrees outside. I shoveled snow today. Fuck that. And I'm doing a Capri Sun.
There you go.
For Kevin Love. Kevin
Love. What a great combination.
No, it's just literally all the fucking stores are closed today. I couldn't, everything is closed. I couldn't get any groceries or anything.
Just a grown man with a Capri Sun.
You do what you gotta do.
You know it's a disaster when Frankie's drinking Capri Suns.
Hell yeah.
Here goes Siobhan. Siobhan showing up late to the party, but he showed up. That's what's important.
What's up?
What are you drinking tonight? It's a Heat win, so I need to see at least two drinks.
Right. So I'll take some shots. We got some margarita, tequila mix, some San Pellegrino, and some juice. And I'll take a shot or two.
All right, good. There we go. All right, double fisted. It's a heat win. A heat win. You got to be double fisted.
You're right.
Brass, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking it's called a black martini.
Ooh.
It's really good. It's got some rye whiskey.
What do you have at the end of your glass there?
Got an orange garnish.
That's an orange, yeah.
Ooh. Man. Show that, man.
Yeah. Did you burn it?
Fuck around.
Show that.
It's good. It's got some old Tom gin in it.
Do you twist it yourself?
Good stuff, man.
Yeah. That's like an old slavery drink.
The black martini, man.
It's late. It's that point where when you're tired, everything just comes out.
Yeah.
That was a Frank Sinatra drink. talking shit about Sammy Davis. Johnny.
What up?
Giancarlo Navas, host of Miami Heat Beat and co-host of the Miami Heat Beat pregame show with Weird Alf, Jack Alfonso. What are you drinking tonight?
I didn't expect to be on, so I came unprepared. I have nothing. I'm going straight to bed after this.
Do you want to take over so I can go to bed?
I'll do it if you want. I mean, we're a team. We'll do it together. I'll carry your, you know, you're on a back-to-back. You know, you can sit the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
If you need, I'll take us home.
Well, no, I'm sticking it out. Jimmy Butler came back in the game, so can I. Drinking the normal vodka and Sprite. Listen, Jimmy Butler, third triple-double in a row, and it led to a victory tonight. So, I mean, honestly, I don't even think Jimmy was happy with those other triple-doubles. I mean, if you know anything about Jimmy. But he's just doing everything for the Heat out there. And tonight, Tiff, he finally got help.
Yeah.
Right, guys had finally decided, hey, the three-pointers aren't going down. I can do other things for this team. Guys were getting in the paint. Instead of, you know, roaming around the three-point line, guys were cutting in behind this really bad Kings defense. Let's not get it twisted. A lot of this is a result of playing a bad defensive team. But we've watched them play bad defensive teams and get completely and lose all aggression on the offensive end. Tonight we saw them continue to be aggressive, get in the paint, and get to the rim and score easily.
You know what I like about it? Jimmy just basically played his game. He controlled the pace. He got everything he wanted. He didn't have to take as many shots as he usually has to take. The only thing I didn't like is that he played over 30 minutes. But other than that, he did what he needed to do. He got everybody involved. Everybody looked confident, which was something that we haven't seen in weeks. And Hero just came out and played. You know, that kid basically, he needs to just come out and get buckets. He needs to stop listening to the noise, stop fucking around with the cereal and the ugly-ass shirts, and just ball. Because he can light it up off the bench. He's not your point guard. He's not your starting two guard. He's a come off the bench and just go get it. Don't worry about nobody else. I don't care if you pass. Go get it.
Yeah, on some Lou Williams shit, right? Yeah, he comes off the bench.
That's why we gotta hit him with a drip drop.
Perfect timing. I mean, and spot on impression right there.
Frankie,
Frank, Frankie.
I love zooming into Frankie and he's taking a drip drop off a Capri Sun. That is
fucking classic.
Hey, I took a shot. All right.
Yes, all right. Mason Jones.
It's a hell of a chaser. Oh
it is. It's a Terra Mana. I'm drinking the Rocks tequila.
Frankie, you got Bam out of bow tonight with a triple double. Listen, the funny thing was just listening to Eric Reed. I think all he cared about was triple doubles. Like there was a point he seemed disappointed that Jimmy might have to sit out the fourth quarter because he wouldn't get a triple double. And I'm thinking as a Heat fan, please Jimmy, sit out the fourth quarter of a back to back. Eric Reed wouldn't hear of it. He needed to see Heat history being made on a Thursday night.
He was hungry. So,
I mean, between Bam, Jimmy, super impressive. But I don't know. I don't know if you agree with me, Frankie. I'm even more impressed with the guys like Tyler. Not impressed, but just happy to see guys like Duncan, Kelly, and Tyler step up and actually help these guys out tonight.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot that they need to – the shooters need to hit shots. That's one of the biggest differences between last year and this year. We went from the second-best shooting team in the league to 23rd. So that's going to really – you know, affect your driving lanes and take away guys like Jimmy and Bam, their ability to attack the basket one-on-one because all the help's always coming because they're not afraid of these shooters making them pay. But, I mean, somebody in the chat mentioned that we didn't shoot a lot of threes. We shot almost as many threes as we did last game against the Warriors, and the Warriors game went to overtime. But the difference was we got – a lot more threes inside out. We were way more aggressive in the paint. We scored 70 points in the paint, which, like you said earlier, this is what we need to see from them. Be aggressive in the first half, continue in the second half. And if that's working, don't go away from it. Just keep attacking, be relentless, get those easy points inside out when the help comes, extra pass. And that's easy. That's not anything complicated that Spo needs to do. That's just the guys making smarter plays and being more aggressive.
Siobhan, Kelly was out there actually looking like a 7-footer tonight.
Mm-hmm.
oh, Brass, I think you have a shout-out real quick. First.
Well, yeah. Shout-out to Vane Hype, who just gifted a one-month Tier 1 sub to Myers Leonard.
Oh, so, sweet.
You, Myers.
Thanks, Myers.
Thanks, Myers.
To get him on the show, I'm not really sure what he's up to except being loud at practice.
I hope he doesn't go back and watch old shows before he comes on.
He loves you. That's your boy, dude. He loves you.
He's a great guy, but he's wasting a spot on the bench of my favorite team. Siobhan, Kelly, 1 for 7 from three,
mm-hmm.
right? But what 9 of 9 in the from two? Like, I mean, 9 of 9. Kelly Olynyk. You're 7 feet tall.
Hey, man, let's start going with what's working. Like Frankie said, it almost seems like we took less threes than we typically do, but numbers have been pretty much consistent. But, yeah, I think the difference is we saw that I'm looking at the box score now. Typically when those threes aren't falling, for whatever reason, we just continue to shoot them. I like seeing all the cutting tonight. Truthfully, we did a lot of cutting last night. We just didn't hit a lot of the guys that were cutting. I'm glad to see that stuff like that is carrying over, that we are more willing to go away from the three when it's not working. Like I said, Kelly, 9 for 9 for 2. Everyone had like a positive plus minus, but I don't really look at plus minus because Tyler had a -3 plus minus, but he gave us 27. Like he said, Tiff, you know, he just needs to come in and be relaxed and hoop and just go get buckets. And it feels like everyone did what their specific roles are on this team tonight.
I mean, I think, we always talk about single game plus minus is a fraudulent stat because it just too much other things are relies on. But Tyler coming off the bench, and you know we're talking about him against second unit guys on the other team, and you saw tonight he was looking at that Kyle Guy guy, like he was looking at a lot of these guys like barbecue chicken, like he was just going at them, and that's one of the reasons we've been screaming about him being on the bench. And for him to be aggressive when he comes into the game, and you saw a lot of that tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big things is that when Jimmy's on the bench, they don't have like a reliable ball handler and creator, right? Because Jimmy has to really do all the heavy lifting in terms of like any kind of pick and roll play. So I think Tyler's emergence as a, like, listen, he's a second year guard who's averaging about 18 points on pretty reasonable efficiency, especially when they thrusted him into a ball handling role. I think that like there's a lot for Heat fans to be encouraged. And also, like, he's coming off the bench, like you said, second unit stuff. And he's kind of given Jimmy a little breather. Not that their offense has been good in those minutes, because it hasn't. I think they're like they're minus a little bit, like minus two per 100 possessions. But, you know, he's kind of getting better in that role. And I think maybe that's not something that fans want to hear, but like he has to learn how to get these reps. And if it's trial by fire, it's trial by fire. But I think like individually as a scorer in pick and roll, he's been really good. I think the passing is getting better. You want him to kind of find the pockets a little more. There have been times that he's not hitting them as quick as you can, but that's fine. I mean, you're second year guard and he's just a smaller second year guard. There's a lot of positives to that and his play off the bench. And I think that, Tiffany, you've said this a ton. That's where he belongs. He's not a starter. He's too small to play with their already small starting lineup. And he's kind of given the room to be himself off the bench. And I think like that's the most important thing, especially for a young player developing.
Yeah. A lot of people in the chat are talking about Bielitsa and Kelly. Siobhan, you had a tweet about them going, you know.
They hate each other. They know the Spider-Man.
The Spider-Man meme.
Yeah, Naminga was auditioning and Kelly was trying to fend him off. It was cute. Yeah.
Kelly did a good job tonight.
Kelly said, not today.
Someone replied to me and said, iron sharpens iron. Well, goddamn it. I like
it. Yo, but you know what? I will say this. We rag on Kelly tenfold, but he showed up. He said, you're going to have to take this job. Yep. Hell yeah. Because I'm not giving it to you.
But like, this is the Kelly we saw in the beginning of the season that we just that wasn't just shooting threes, that we were like, okay, this guy could help the starting lineup because he's playing well, because he's being aggressive, attacking the rim, keeping on the dribble handoffs. And then as soon as he became a starter, he was only doing catch and shoot, so he wasn't giving anything. Today he shot 1-for-7 from three, and he was a huge positive. This is the Kelly we need to see, be aggressive.
Yeah, we're near the top of the elevation of the roller coaster. Yeah, we're getting up there.
Frankie, do you know he's shooting 74% at the rim this year?
With no left hand.
Stay at the rim.
Stay
at the,
yeah. Just don't even move. Just
he needs to shoot threes because
he opens it up.
By virtue of starting next to Bam, he has to shoot threes. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that's all you have
right,
to do.
Right. You don't need to take nine.
Like between Duncan and Kelly, Duncan and Kelly were 11-for-11 from in the paint today.
But like, you notice Duncan was actually looking for the pass this time. Mm-hmm. Last night he went in once, got the pass, never went back. Tonight he actually went in, turned his head to actually look for the ball. It's so simple.
Usually he just runs through that paint. But also a lot of times when he's running through that paint, you have a good defender on him. The Kings don't have, but my thing is you're supposed to take advantage of these teams.
Yeah, and you have to.
The Heat have not been doing that. So when they do, we got to give them their props. Like, you know, I haven't talked about Kendrick Nunn at all. Every starter was in double figures. Kendrick Nunn was 16, and he has been steady.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes I'm like, does that mean some of his points are inconsequential? It feels like that sometimes, but a lot of times he's keeping you in the game or with the lead in that first half, and then he gets real passive in the second half, and then nobody's trying to get to the rim. Before we go further, we did a cool thing with our Patreons, whatever. Our folks that are, you know, are some fans who subscribed to our Patreon. We did a cool thing tonight. We did a watch party. I think Frankie, G, Brash, you guys were all on.
Jack,
tell us a little bit about that, how it went.
So if you're a $10 patron, you are have access to our watch parties, which essentially is just me and other personalities on Heat Beat. We'll get on the Discord call and we'll kind of coordinate it to make sure that we're all like at the same point of stream. right? So we'll stream a game. We'll make sure that we're all around the same time so no one's spoiling the game for each other. And we're just sitting there. We're talking shit. We're just talking about the game. We're talking about basketball, talking about Twitter, talking about, like, whatever's going on in the Heat community and each other. And, like, we're telling jokes. And it's really fun. Like, honestly, if you don't do it, today was the first day we've ever done it. I think that, you know, if you think, oh, $10 is a lot. Like, if you were to go to a bar with us, let's say you go to, like, a Duffy's for a watch party. Well, you're probably going to buy a drink and maybe like some wings. That'll cost you more than $10. You pay $10 and you can hang out with us for a night. I think it's pretty worth it. So if that interests you, check it out. We offer other things in the $10 tier. You get a newsletter that we write every week. One week it's a more statistical newsletter. Another week it's articles and stuff written by the staff here. You get access to pick topics for the podcast. So next week we're doing a Patreon podcast where you guys pick all the topics that we're going to talk about. You basically produce the show. You decide. You control the content. So it's really fun. I like doing it, and I can't wait to do more. So I hope y'all join. I know that, Tapioca was there. We had
that's a good stat right there.
Yeah,
Miami Heat beat 1-0 in watch parties.
Yeah,
there we go.
A lot better than our physical watch parties.
Well, those weren't Miami Heat beat, but anyway.
Long time ago.
Long time ago. Me and Brass had something cool ready if they lost. Brass, you want to debut that? Because I do want to talk about this Daquan Jeffries character and what the hell is going on. Like, if I hear season high or career high one more time. You want to go to a Brass? Or
yeah, no? Why not? What the fuck? Let's go.
Let's go.
They kicked our ass.
That's amazing.
I love it. We were waiting for a loss to debut it, and like somehow they didn't lose tonight.
We'll have plenty of times to play it this season.
Brass is a hidden boss of creativity, yes, on Heat Twitter. Like, that's so fucking funny.
That's awesome. Thank
you. Brass, do it again one more time.
They kicked our ass.
Like, who's the bottle? Who's the silhouette?
Yeah, who's that? Who's
it
that?
It could
dancer?
Be anybody. It could be. I told Alf, I'm not updating this shit every game. So I needed something like really generic.
I originally wanted the player there.
It's Garrison Matthews.
It's whoever you want. It's whoever's in your nightmares.
It's Cow Guy.
But I mean, it happened again with the season high, career high. God, that guy, he's in my...
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Nightmares. Where's it? Put him back. Where's his top lip? Like, what is that?
Oh, we're doing this again? We're already doing reruns.
He's got a Joker smile.
You can't.
Oh, God.
We're at that part of the season, Brad.
This is the worst repeats. One.
You can't do it. You can't talk about this team without talking about that guy's face.
That's true.
He smiles like the
Fire Marshal Bill ass.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
I got a big ass lip. It's hard to tuck that in.
It's hard, right?
It doesn't just.
Brass is out.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball player strikes out when the bases are loaded. The best golfer sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you for free with two-day shipping, and the whole process is discreet and straightforward. Getting started is simple. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete the online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21 to get $15 off your first month. Look, that's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. Get to Roman.com/HeatBeat21. Go get started to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
But no, it feels. what is it? It's every game. Somebody's hitting a season high, a career high.
Yeah,
like it's this year the random scrub heat killer is on steroids.
They have a lot of varies because of the way they play defense, because they've decided, and we talked about this on the pregame show, that the Heat are the second few, they limit attempts at the rim, they allow the second fewest attempts at the rim, and as a result you allow the most corner threes. So corner threes are a good shot for most teams, but since
but
Jimmy's
Daquan
come
Jeffries,
it's just what you give up. What's happened, they've gotten better at it, though. Like, since Jimmy's come back, it's really slowed down. But, you know, you give a guy like Marcus Morris a bunch of threes, and, you know, shit's going to happen.
I do like – I wish we could play highlights, because I really want to see that Bam dunk on Hassan and over again.
You mean the dunk on the backup center of the Kings?
Yeah, the
backup.
The Kings backup center.
We don't have that. We do have the dunk on Hassan post game, though.
Oh, all right. We'll take it.
Oh, I love this.
I don't know if you've seen this.
Show this.
Oh. This is Kentucky business. Keep it moving. This is Kentucky business.
Mask right. Like Hassan, like wandering mask.
Are you surprised that Hassan doesn't wear his mask right?
He said that in the watch party, that he's totally the guy that is walking into Publix like not wearing the mask right. Like, that's totally what's
he's
happening.
He's just a little touched.
Big goofy. But it would, like, for Bam to have a triple-double on playing against Hassan. Hassan had 5.6 rebounds, one assist. He was a we were talking about
plus. Good game for him.
Yeah, honestly, probably doubles his career.
Season high?
It's probably a season high. But he was a minus 18 in 15 minutes. Like, yeah. He was the worst player. And you know what's funny? You know,
Alfie said it doubled his season total. He's averaging half an assist or game.
Listen, outside test, baby. You know what's funny? So many Heat fans are like, oh, we could use a rim protector like Hassan. And it's like, guys, they were just going to the rim. And it was like a buffet line at the rim when Hassan was out there. Like, we got to get off this whole idea that you can get this big – just because you have a big stiff in the middle, pause, doesn't mean that it's you know, that it's real rim protection. Like, like G just said, the one thing that Bam does and what they've done with Bam is they limit your getting to the rim at all. Hassan was like, okay, you're here. Now I'm going to contest it. But guys were there already. That was the problem. Too many guys were getting to the rim with Hassan, because you saw it. He has his hands down. He's not contesting. He's not trapping anybody. God forbid. Like God forbid he just stretches out his arms a little bit. I mean, so and for all the people who are, you know, who want to shit on Bam, he's not a max player. Hassan Whiteside used to protect the rim better than Bam does. I give you this fucking game. Hassan Whiteside with 5-6 and doubling his season average and assists.
He didn't even try. He was just out there.
You saw when Tyler hit him with the Hezzy when he kind of like did that change of speed inside. I was like, oh, you froze his ass.
And then like on the other side, Bam is tracking Corey Joseph, you know, sliding his feet next to a little 6 foot guard, and the guy can't get around him. Like, just, you just see the difference between these two players. Like, I hate the fact that we're even talking about it, but I just seen there's been a lot of stupidity on the timeline lately.
You know the people.
We don't need revisionist history.
Hassan Whiteside Hive Twitter is like top five worst Twitter group of all time. Heat Twitter, like, they're worst.
They're not five through two at all. They're horrible. Straight rich trash. Pablo G. Rodeo, you guys all suck.
Hero ad.
Adam.
Oh, geez. Taking shots.
Does he work in radio? I don't.
We can ask
Pablo G. Radio. Doesn't.
Go on. I don't want to interrupt your Pablo talk.
I'll just say Pablo G. Radio, but don't that's work one. In radio. That's like Alf GTV.
We can have a lot of fun with some of.
You're on Twitch.tv. /MIHP.
It's true. We could have a lot of fun with some of G's old Hassan takes. I remember you were telling me that G is. We were saying that Hassan is more to this franchise than Ronnie Cicely ever was.
Wow. Did I say that?
You said
no. There's no way I said that.
I'm telling exactly you, fucking.
There's
said
no way I said that.
That sounds exactly
yeah,
like
no way I said that.
Hassan,
drugs.
That was the beer fest.
Make
night.
Stuff up. I did say that Hassan was better than Andre Drummond, and I still believe that.
No, Hassan doesn't believe that anymore.
I think so little of that hairy shouldered man.
Hey, chill with the hairy shoulders, all right? We have a support group.
That was a real take, by the way. I just want to say.
He just gave a worse one. Like, what? We're not surprised.
Damn it. Don't come on here and lower our like value, G.
I saw a couple of days ago that was talking about, I can't remember the specific teams. I know the Sixers were one. But it was talking about teams who have like active versus passive defenses, but who also like protect at the rim. So I think the Sixers were like the number two passive defense as far as allowing traffic to get to the rim. But once there, I guess, you know, Embiid is doing a good job turning guys away there. I think it's interesting. Like you said, we use Bam in a variety of ways to keep guys from getting into the paint. I didn't necessarily have too much of a correlation. I just thought it was a interesting kind of opposite approach to where we use our big and our defense and how it does work for us for the most part.
For them, but one of the things, I'll let you go after this, one of the things that I find frustrating with that mentality is there's a lot of times there's no big in the paint when it's time to get a rebound, and they give up a lot of offensive rebounds because you're asking like guys like Kelly and Bam to do a lot. Not like Kelly rebounds anyway, but you know, maybe he'd have a chance to get a few if he was. And I think that's why you see guys like Tyler and Jimmy getting double digit rebounds a lot, because the bigs are pulled so far out of the paint. Yeah. And listen, it's a good believe me, it's a good defensive strategy. They've been using it ever since Bam's been a starter, but it does. There are some weaknesses to it.
And then that's a lot. I said a couple pods ago that that's a lot of when we see kick out threes, like a offensive rebound kick back out is the best time to shoot a three. But you know, it's good that we do have rebounding guards who are willing to go in there and if not snatch it and steal from each other, then just go get.
But they're also small, so that's why you see guys like last night where you had a bunch of 6'6", 6'7", and you saw it a lot tonight where you just have these athletic guys running at the rim going for offensive rebounds, and who's standing in their way? It's Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero.
Right.
So they're not
in the way.
They won the rebounding battle yesterday, and they've won it pretty consistently. Like, they are 15th in rebounding since the time period that Jimmy came back. So from January 30th, which was that first Kings game, to now, which has been 11 games, they're 15th in rebounding. And that's total rebounding. That includes their really awful offensive rebounding.
But G, what happens is you see in how many situations have we seen this year where, you know, they have a really good defensive possession and then there's an offensive rebound put back.
They don't give up a lot of offensive rebounds.
It's those last 3 minutes in the game. Those, and then you know what it is? It's not even that they're not in there. They're in there, but somebody just a little bit taller gets the tap out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it happens every time back in that last 3 minutes.
Oh, so good. More back taps, please.
Yep.
We're not big or athletic enough to just go up over these dudes, but we tend to time stuff and have enough athleticism mm-hmm. to be able to more back taps.
I guess the point is that they've just been better since Jimmy's come back because he's a really – I mean, he's getting like 10 rebounds a game since he's come back.
So, no, yeah. It's also that Jimmy's on the weak side most of the time or the one Bam is switching with. So Jimmy can hold his own and box out while the guards can grab there. That's why Tyler is getting so many uncontested rebounds because Jimmy's mm-hmm. actually a bigger body and can put a body on him and put him under the backboard.
And it worked a lot in the Big Three era because you had – I mean, at any given time, you'd have LeBron and Dwayne crashing the boards, both really good rebounders for their position. Even Chalmers wasn't the tallest guy in the world, but he was long and he was wide for a point guard. You had Shane Battier. You had all these guys out there, healthier Udonis. So when Joel Anthony or Chris Bosh is all the, you know, and that's what. A lot of that was one of the reasons why Bosh's rebounding went to shit when he got to Miami. When they're out there at the perimeter, you know, blitzing pick and rolls, you had guys that were dedicated to getting rebounds. This team is small. Siobhan has said it over and over again. This is a very small Miami Heat team. And we're seeing some of that, and it's just part of the frustration. I know we get frustrated with the defense, but it's kind of it's the scheme that they're running. You know, it's so, you know, expecting Kendrick Nunn to get out there and box out guys twice his size. It's just, I mean, you're asking for trouble.
That's why I think we've said that they need, and I, you know, the first person to open my eyes to this was Tiff when she said they just need pieces. They don't need, you've changed me, Tiffany. Changed me. You said they need pieces. And I think a lot of us have been very swing for the fences. But like that's kind of in the moves they make. I don't think they need to get a 7-footer who's gonna make them first in rebounding. But if they get some guys like a power forward who's a good rebounder, if they get a little bit bigger in the backcourt, because Kendrick Nunn and Gabe and Duncan are not, they don't play big, and like Duncan's big, but he doesn't play big, and these other, like if they just get bigger in those positions, I think that'll go a long way.
There was, and I want to go around the horn with this one. There was an interesting question and on the timeline today, and I'll give you guys my answer first. It was what do the Heat need? They just need realistically two players that you could see on the Heat realistically, which is very hard for Heat Twitter to do, because I gave two names and people are like, we don't need them. I'm like, what do you mean we don't need? Mm-hmm. Like, we just need, like Tiffany would say. Like, we don't need. What would we do with that guy? Play him? He would start for your garbage-ass squad. So I said George Hill and Blake Griffin, who I feel are realistic targets. Blake on a buyout. I want to put that caveat.
It has to be a buyout.
And I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. But it might, and if that is an option, that is somebody to me you would go for. Just because I think he starts over Kelly, and he can still rebound. He is not nowhere near the athlete. We, you know, I don't want to hear a bunch of Eric Reeds out there. I know he's not as good as he used to be, but on this team, I think he would actually start over Kelly. And George Hill, I know, would start a point guard on this team. So all the people getting mad at me about that take, if they could start on your team and you don't give up a lot to get them, it's a good trade, Tiff.
No, I would like to see something like that instead of a trade, because then you get to, you keep everybody you got, and I mean obviously, like, we're probably not gonna have Chris Silva, but I mean,
oh no,
we ain't had Chris Silva, so it don't matter. And then you get to move Kelly to the bench.
Yes.
And then you get to change, and then you get to create this bench unit that literally can run like the starters.
Yes.
So it makes perfect sense to me. And come on, we got to stop. Blake ain't dead. Like, like we act like my man is rolling around in a casket. He literally, yeah, he's not dunking on nobody. But
according
let's act
to
like
Eric Reed, he sure is.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah,
I was gonna say at Eric Reed. Tiff,
but we signed but the reality him. He's looking to delete old reruns of the fucking broadcast.
He should, because he was shameful that episode. But listen, I also think he started just kind of holding back a little bit in Detroit. He didn't want to be there anymore. It just became this whole toxic situation. So he wants out. No, he's not going to give us 20 and 15. But guess what? He could give us 15 and 8 consistently.
Wait, and eight? We'll, wait, what?
He can give you 15 and 8.
I don't think so anymore. I think
you don't think Blake Griffin can give you 8 rebounds?
I think he's
Kelly,
really,
Kelly
he's
on hurt. Every other night is giving us 7.
Yeah, he's really hurt.
He hasn't averaged 8 rebounds in 4 years.
How many rebounds is he averaging?
Like 5.
Okay, yeah. he's averaging 5. So you don't think next to Bam?
I think it's
different.
Defense.
You gotta see. This is
he's
the whole
shooting
thing.
Worse. He's shooting worse in the restricted area than Kelly. Like he's shooting like 60, low 60s, which is like really not good, especially
but,
for that.
But you got to look at hurt. The shots he's taking, and you got to look at the way that they're playing.
I don't
everything
think he's
is different.
Get better looks here. Like it's not like they run a really good offense that they're going to get him open layups. Like that hasn't been the
he's
case for
in,
anybody.
He's in the paint. He's cleaning up the paint. He's giving you putbacks, and that's it. He can still shoot the 3 on a decent level, and they're going to guard him out there. It's kind of like you can't see the tree. You can't see the forest for the trees.
He
things
has
happen.
7 offensive rebounds all year. He has and 97 he, defensive.
Have you
rebounds.
Watched Detroit? I've watched Detroit play.
I have.
He doesn't do anything because he doesn't want to be there. You got to like.
He looks like he just has like.
G, you can't come on this show. Yeah. G, let me tell you something. We don't look too good right now. So if somebody on the buyout market is like, I might go to Miami. Guess what? I'm about to big them up on this show. If Isaiah Thomas is saying he want to come.
Yep.
You, we can't be trashing people. We ain't got no choice.
That's what I don't get. Go ahead, bro.
Come on. If you're not giving up anything but Chris Silva, what's the problem?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. I think.
Come
I
on.
Think, I think if Blake, because I don't know, I think Blake might choose a more realistic spot in terms of you know championship contention if Go he's gonna home. If he's gonna but I think if Blake wants to come here, that's a no-brainer. I'm not saying it's going to change a lot.
No, but we can't but be trashy people. We're not in the position to be like telling the girl at the prom, we don't want to dance with you. We've been on the wall right. The whole time.
Listen, if Blake can come in and get you, like a guy like Blake can come in and get you, I'm not, we're talking about Amari Stoudemire starting minutes, right? You know, like 18, Party. 20 minutes, Myers Leonard starting minutes, like 18, 20 minutes a game. Or even if he just spells Kelly, or where you can actually where you're not playing Gabe Vincent, right? Or you're giving Iggy a night off. Like that's the thing. Like
you need a big body.
We gotta get out of this mindset that the Heat don't need. Yes, they do. They have a 9-man rotation in February and losing to bad teams. Like this whole idea that they don't need anybody or they can't use this person, they can use any NBA level player they can find and stop playing Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Iggy should not be playing back to backs. Some of these minutes need to be mitigated somehow, huh?
And Blake should.
He can't be no worse.
Yeah, he can't be. He's not gonna be. Worse.
He can't be any worse. He can't.
Who are you?
You're believing the Eric Reed propaganda.
I mean,
I don't
want to like misconstruct. Like, I think Blake can help a team, but I think that he looks hurt this season. He doesn't look like he's moving well, and I think that he's probably playing when he shouldn't play. And I think that maybe next year, if he takes some time off, I think he could look better. I don't think he's like done in the league. I just think that this is not really the season, considering the COVID protocols, considering the condensed schedule. It's not like great for his health. That's kind of my point.
And with all that being said, he might be the only person that says, I want to come to Miami.
I don't think he's better than Olenek, for example.
Okay, Gianni, if Blake is like, I want to go to Miami. If he's like, fine. Gianni, I need your blessing. Why the fuck he would say that? I have no idea. But if he said, Gianni, do I have your blessing to play for the Miami Heat? What are you going to say to him?
I mean, if they, it depends on what their options are.
You're doing too much talking, G. You're supposed like, to say, you're supposed to say, come on home.
Yes, Blake. Come.
We really need Chris Silva.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't like. I don't even understand what the argument against a Blake on a buyout is. Like,
I don't really think we got a lot of choices. I don't think we.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
I don't think we got a lot of choices because we don't look that attractive right now.
That's the beauty of a buyout is you have it. It does. It's fine. It's very low risk if you actually have players that want to play for you. Very low risk.
G,
Go to G. Who are you looking at?
G, two guys that you realistically.
I think Lonzo would be really nice.
We talking about buyout.
Oh, we're talking about only buyout?
Yeah.
No. It could be trade.
Oh, you're talking about trades too? Okay.
Lonzo would be a guy that I think would fit really nicely. Lonzo and Ariza or Lonzo and Thad Young. I think like those are guys that I would really like that I feel would help them in their area. I don't think they're going to be able to fill every area of need, but I do think that if they could fill two of the three, I think that's a win for them. And I think like Lonzo and Thad Young really helps their defense and their offense. And if they get like Lonzo and Ariza, it kind of lets them pivot a different way to be like a little bit faster, a little bit more mobile. So like one of those two would be like my pick.
I'm out on Ariza.
I'm like very tepid on Ariza.
Ariza is giving me Mo vibes right now. When's the last time he played? Like I'm out.
He played last season and he looked good. When he was in Portland, he looked good.
I'm out.
He got traded to the Thunder.
That looked good was Mo.
And he's doing the Andre thing. But I mean, but why would you say Ariza no, but Blake yes? I don't like
because Ariza's... we need a big body. Nice. We need somebody in that can take some of the abuse away from Bam. Okay. Ariza is not doing that, and he's not. You want him at the four,
right?
Ariza, yeah. Ariza played four in Portland and their offense.
Yeah, I don't want that. I want Portland, somebody big.
But under Portland there. Had a good offense, like with him at the four, and they're playing Andre. They're playing Andre at the four. Like it's not like it can get much worse.
I don't want Andre in there right now.
Yeah, but the defense has been fine. Like you don't want the small four because it makes your defense bad. But like their defense has been good.
I think some of what's going on with their defense is kind of over. Personally, I think it's overstated.
I think so too. I said my that
eye, like I would love to see what the numbers say because my eye test says they're building up those defensive numbers on bad teams and also dragging teams into the mud with their shitty offense.
No, but they've played good teams recently and they've had like they had Utah, the Warriors.
Yeah, I think they're dragging a lot of teams.
But we get worn out. But the thing is,
Wizards have a really good offense, for example.
But that's the thing. We start out really good, but because we have to like run Jimmy and Bam so hard on defense, if you notice, as we get into the fourth, we're worn out. So a bigger body in the paint, that helps.
I think that the defense stuff late is that they can't play Andre late, who helps their defense a lot, and they really have to go more offense because the problem is that they go like 7 minutes without scoring. And then when you take Andre out, they like have an unbalanced roster. Like, I don't disagree with you, but I don't really see how Blake helps their defense. He's like, he really can't move. Like, I don't, that's what I'm.
Frankie, give me two guys that can help this team.
I've been big on George Hill and Ariza because it makes sense with OKC, a trade for them. I don't think Ariza, I am cautious on Ariza just because he hasn't played this season. I don't know what his mindset is. I know he had some personal issues, so I don't know if he's just ready to contribute. But I agree with G. I think he could help out. He would make that spot ball lineup a little more potent. He was good in Portland, and he helped space the floor. He's a good three-point shooter. He's gotten bigger towards the end of his career, so he has been a lot better at the four. But, I mean, a realistic option besides him, I think Bielitsa would be pretty good. You don't need Kelly. You don't want Kelly playing 24 – more than 24 minutes. Bielitsa, you don't want him playing more than 24 minutes. They play the same. One of them is having a bad shooting game. You play the other guy. And you saw Bielitsa drives to the basket hard. He's aggressive. He can pass the ball. I like his game.
But are we trading Kelly to get Bielitsa?
No. Bielitsa fits. It's in the trade exception.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of these things we're talking about, you're not giving up much. Okay. Because anybody that you need to give somebody up for, it's not available. Siobhan, yeah. Is anybody out there you'd like to see?
I do like Lonzo.
I love that. But you're giving something up for Lonzo. But yeah.
I agree, but I think it may be worth it. I think Lonzo fits really, really well with this team. I think he's still young enough and still moldable to come in and just kind of feast off of what it is that Miami is about, what they say that they're about, conditioning aspect and all of those things. He has great vision. He has great vision. He's crafty with the ball. He moves defenses almost like a quarterback with his vision and like finds the lane that he wants open. He's a great on-ball defender. He has size. He's a great rebounder for a point guard. I really, really like Lonzo, and I understand that comes with, you know, probably giving up a couple pieces. I like that. I like Nemanja Bjelica, especially if he fits into a trade exception, and you're not giving up a Kelly to get him, because I think what you do with those two is the same that you do with your Tylers and your Duncan and your Andre and your Jimmy. You stagger them and you allow the two of them to spell one another, get, you know, the other one some rest, some rest and a breather. I truthfully, I'm not really familiar with who else would come available. Via
that's about it. That's the problem. That's about it.
I really do like Lonzo.
See, I like Lonzo too, but gee, what are you giving up? What are you giving up to get Lonzo?
I feel like he's up for an extension soon, and I don't really see
New Kelly Orleans. None in a second.
No, I don't even think it'll save Kelly. Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, I'm sure that Nunn, KZ, and something, you know, can get you close. I don't know if they'd ask for Precious. I'd be okay with giving Precious, but I know most people probably wouldn't be. But like, that wouldn't.
Alonzo?
Yeah, that wouldn't. Buy it wouldn't Precious. It wouldn't hurt me. I wouldn't be
offended.
If
you're planning on re-signing Lonzo, then.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Obviously, if a trade for him means that you see him as a long, and I think, by the way, like him and Bam together is a really good defensive tandem, and they're both still young, so like it's not, and he's a good enough shooter that he can survive on the floor with.
And he's gotten better. He's worth it.
He is. I think he's a, and he's a smart player. He's like, he seems like a hardworking kid. Like I like him.
Now, if you make that,
trade, so a question for Lonzo, from the chat is: has Miami Heat Beat instituted a tweet signing?
Did you sneak into the chat?
I'm gonna say what I said on the pregame. Some of you probably missed that. Oh boy, here I am. Spotlight. here's what you got to know. Not all tweets on the Miami Heat Beat account speak for all the members of Miami Heat Beat, and I think that's super important to say. But there are two things to really pay close attention to. If the tweet is misspelled,
or grammatically incorrect,
got it up there. All right. And if the tweet is overly emotional,
after a loss, especially, yeah,
it's Brian fucking Goins. Because especially after months of like no movement and nothing happening with the team, that's all Brian. He gets antsy, man.
He studied the salary cap for so many fucking months, and they haven't made a fucking move. He's just so upset about his time wasted.
he's tweaking. He's waiting for a trade.
If a tweet's deleted within 5 minutes, it was Jack.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Right. No, but the funny thing is, it's because Brian said he insisted that Jack delete it because it was emotional. It was like, two-factor authentication and shit like that, so Jack can't tweet. So like, we took away Jack's ability to tweet from the Heatbeat account, and we took away his pregame show. He's back in.
Pre-game.
All right, fine.
Oh, he can tweet from the account again.
I gave him the information.
That's such a mistake. Like, why would you? You need to take it away from Brian too.
Yes.
In fact,
that's next.
Just give it to Tiffin's. Like, we got likes.
Let's just restock who has the
right.
Tiffin's like Siobhan. They're good. I trust them.
Tiff can spell. Siobhan can spell. Neither of them get too emotional about
this
shit.
I was asked if you had access to the account, and I said, oh, heavens, no.
No, I'm going to start cussing people out.
Somebody in the chat in Discord thought it was you that tweeted that out. And we're like, no, Alf would have said that with his chest on his account.
Yeah, I don't need to hide behind somebody else, behind the main account. Yeah. I think also Brian just wants those trash takes out there for as many people as possible to see.
He kept going 1,000 likes.
Yeah, like
yeah.
And where were those 1,000 likes? That's not even true.
No, yeah, no, it was true.
Was it
also? Really? Yeah. Also, not everyone likes things because they actually like what you said. Like that's sometimes the people just like it to save it so they could come talk shit about it later.
It was also like funny because I think he was making a Sugat joke and I don't think a lot of people got it, which was also like double.
The problem was it was followed by like several other non-Sugat jokes.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was legit mad. No, he was mad.
Then he had like this whole thing about all the failures of the last 4 years. Like the year after we went to the finals, you're going to talk about all the failures of the last 4 years.
Like, he's such a sports brat. It's like, dude, grow the fuck up. They're good. That you have a good team with two cornerstone pieces and a really good young player on a cheap salary. Like, grow the fuck up.
He was mad at Bam because Bam was hurt in the finals.
Bam sucks. He's out there with like half his shoulder against Anthony Davis.
Bam can't shrug his shoulders, and Brian's like, "What the fuck is Bam doing?"
Being defended by AD. Being defended by AD.
Bam is like this all fucking finals, just grab him, reach a rebound like this.
How many things did they shoot him up with for him to be out there? And Brian for Brian on our group DM to slander him.
Is there anyone as annoying as Brian on Raptors Twitter?
Me,
Gianni.
I don't really care. I didn't really care. I really don't want to hear Raptors shit.
Shout out to
Twisted Tapioca, who gifted a 1 month tier sub to Pizza Spaghetti 1776. So
that's a name.
Yeah. So hit him up with a drip drop.
Oh, we know
you guys love the drip drop here.
Right.
I am so tired, and then we're back on Saturday. We're doing the drip drop drinking game on Saturday. Tiff, you gonna be up for that?
Lakers lost to the Nets.
Yeah, well, they got that work put on them tonight.
So now Lakers are gonna
they gonna put that work
to us. So that's cool.
Well, Anthony Davis isn't playing against us, right?
No, he's out.
Like it matters.
So, by the way, on this road trip, they had.
I mean,
no
the Kings
Conley.
Were literally missing two starters tonight.
Yeah,
like.
no Harry B, no Mike Conley for Utah, no Draymond Green, no Anthony Davis, no Kawhi and Paul George. They really got off easy.
No, they didn't.
And they still went on a three-game.
They were gifted these things, and then also like the Clippers on the second night of a back-to-back, they fucking blew it.
No Goran Dragic.
Exactly. We without Goran. I don't know what y'all expect.
Yo, shout out to Eric the Great for gifting 5 tier 1 subs, including one to Chris Cody and Bam.
Eric the Goat.
I felt so bad. Eric was just like, he was like, I couldn't watch Hangover Time last night. I was just too depressed. I was like, come on, man. We're going to have a good time regardless.
I love Eric the Great. Eric the Great, by the way, leading the month in gifted subs.
Twisted Tapioca.
Shout out to Eric the Great.
Eric the Goat.
Brian M in second place. This is Tapioca's not even in the medal stand right now.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Slacking.
Shout out to Vane Hype in third place.
Let's go, Vane Hype.
Oh.
Vane Hype's a good dude. Comes to our events. I love him.
He's great.
Eric the Great says I was tired, Alf. I understand, man. I'm exhausted.
Who are we?
Eric the Great, we all tired.
Oh, yeah.
Tiffany has energy today.
Yes, she does.
Tiffany told me yesterday, she's like, if they lose, I ain't coming on that fucking postgame show.
Right. Tiffany's awake. I'm looking at the box. How can KZ end up with a -5 in a minute?